Really, all of our attempts to create healthier habits are sabotaged by what we call conscious, unconscious mismatches. So that's where if you think of your conscious mind as that's the like the logical, rational part, like you say, the part says, okay, well, today I'm going to have the lunch that I plan to have, and I'm going to leave work at a certain time. Then I'm going to go for a walk. Then I'm going to cook a really nice, nutritious dinner. The conscious mind is very logical. It is all about planned behavior. So it actually knows the behaviors that we want to do in order to achieve the goals that we have. But unconscious mind, that habitual emotional part of our mind, might or might not feel like making those changes that the conscious mind wants to make.
Welcome to the Australian Weight Loss Surgery Podcast, where every 2 weeks we explore all the aspects of the weight loss surgery journey. You'll hear from a range of experts, including bariatric surgeons, psychologists, patients, and dietitians, sharing up-to-date informative advice to help fast-track your long-term weight loss success.
Welcome back to the Australian Weight Loss Surgery Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Lewis, and I'm the clinical nutritionist at BN Healthy. Today, my guest is psychologist Glenn McIntosh from Weight Management Psychology in Brisbane. Glenn's broad expertise lies in intuitive eating, positive body image, and he's also authored a book titled Thin Sanity. You may recognise Glenn McIntosh from such places as Channel 10's The Biggest Loser, where he was the consultant psychologist for the show. Glenn's research investigated psychological and social factors and weight management, and his expertise lies in health psychology, the psychology of eating, and sports and exercise. He also lectures regularly at the Queensland University and several other universities. Today, Glenn and I will discuss his newest baby, the 90-Day Transformation audio program, where Glenn has paired together his incredible understanding of weight management and the psychological contributors to that, as well as how to access the unconscious through hypnotherapy. And no, we won't have you walking around the room flapping your arms like a chicken, I promise. So please welcome my friend, Glenn McIntosh. And so welcome back to the show, my good friend, Glenn McIntosh, psychologist. How are you?
I'm really, really well. Thank you for having me back.
We always have so much to talk about on and off air. So
We do.
It's always a pleasure. So today we're going to talk about some new stuff, which is not new, but new to you and new to your audience, which I'm really excited about. And I will admit from the very beginning, I'm a convert. Hypnosis. Who knew, Glenn McIntosh? I didn't know how busy you've been over the last year.
And did you know that I was a hypnotherapist?
I didn't know that about you. So
yeah.
That's where it's you've come up with that. That's amazing. And so that's another skill set in your already well-tooled box as far as helping people with different processes. It's another one to pull out. Tell me a little bit about it from a hypnotherapist perspective. I know sometimes people, when we talk about hypnosis, we get that vision of someone walking around on the stage like a chicken or barking like a dog. How do people feel about hypnosis, and what actually is hypnosis, and what isn't it?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because I think that even that word hypnosis, it just conjures up this whole variety of responses. And some people are like, oh my goodness, this is what I need, like to retrain my whole brain. And then other people are like, what you said, they've seen something like in entertainment hypnosis or in a movie, and they're like, oh my goodness, don't make me cluck like a chicken. And I think it is really important to talk about, because for hypnotherapy to work for you, you have to have at least some level of belief that it can work for you. You don't have to be, you know, blindly believing that it'll work, but you do have to have some faith in it before you to kind of try it. And when people do understand what hypnotherapy is, and like you said, what hypnotherapy isn't, they often become a lot more comfortable with it. So let's start with what it isn't, because I do think, like, if you see like an entertainment hypnosis or you read something in a book, in some ways it does highlight the power of hypnotherapy, which is a blessing for us hypnotherapists. But it also does it, it creates a lot of misconceptions, which is a real curse for hypnotherapists. So I think we should probably clear up from the start that it's not magic. It can seem absolutely magical. And I just got an email from a client just before this who had this fantastic experience with actually using hypnotherapy to keep her CPAP on at night.
Really?
Yeah. She said she previously her max was 2.5 hours, and then she'd wake up and just rip it off, and there was nothing that she could seem to do. And now it's actually still not completely fitted, but she just sent me a little screenshot of 5.5 hours. So
wow,
super cool. And it can seem like magic, but it's not magic. It's not brainwashing. Hypnotherapy, if it's done with a qualified hypnotherapist versus, let's say, a stage hypnotist or an entertainment hypnotist, is always done with your complete permission, not something that's done to you. It's something that's done with you. And if it's done with a qualified professional, it's absolutely not dangerous. All it is, my favorite definition of hypnotherapy, it's where a person is guided into a state of awareness where they become more receptive or more open to ideas that are right for them.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's all it is. And so you're being guided into a state, you and the hypnotherapist, whether it's like a one-on-one hypnosis or through something that you listen to, like an audio recording, you know, you and the hypnotherapist are doing that work together. You're just being guided into a state of awareness where you're more open to ideas. And that state of awareness can vary greatly between people. The hypnotic state is actually a really normal state to go into and out of every day. Humans and animals go into hypnotic states all day without trying. But what we're doing in hypnotherapy is we're just utilizing that state to help people become more open to ideas that are right for them. And I think that's the last part. You know, there is this misconception that, you know, hypnosis is somebody controlling your mind. But in reality, your subconscious is so powerful and so wise that it will never allow any suggestions that are not right for you to sink in. So you're really only being guided to being open to suggestions that are really going to be helpful for you as a unique individual.
And that's the difference when you say hypnotist and hypnotherapist. That's the difference, right? Is that we're using that state as a therapeutic process to support someone through an idea or a new way, whereas a hypnotist is doing different things, and obviously it's all about the show.
Absolutely, and I think that is a really important distinction. Every now and then I catch myself up, but I try to actually be mindful to use those words differently. So I will talk about a hypnotist and a hypnotherapist, and I will often prefer the words hypnotherapy when we're talking about using hypnotic principles in a therapeutic context versus hypnotism.
Yes, absolutely. Which you don't necessarily, I mean, I'm in that kind of space, I suppose, so I hear that hypnotherapy and kind of thing rather than hypnotist and, yeah, less of that process-driven objective. I wanted to talk about how you're saying someone who's undergoing or coming into your treatment or therapy or process, how do we either know or see if we can find out how suggestible or how open they might be?
Yeah, this is a great question, is am I hypnotizable?
Yeah.
And the older way of thinking about hypnosis is that your hypnotizability, or sometimes we call it your suggestibility, is like a bell curve, and some people will be more hypnotizable, some people will be less hypnotizable. And it was almost like, you know, you're trying out for the choir. You know, some people are going to get in and some people aren't going to get in. And that is really an older way of thinking about hypnotherapy. The way that we tend to think about hypnotherapy these days is it's not can you be hypnotized, but it's how can you be hypnotized? So rather than, you know, the hypnotherapist reading out a particular script, you know, you and sleep, you will feel calm and relaxed. What we try to do is we try to take into the account the unique preferences, the unique goals of the particular person that we're working with, whether they tend to be more visual or kinesthetic, auditory in the way that they process information, and a whole range of factors, and then tailor hypnotic work to those specific people. And then you find if the hypnotherapy is well tailored to the person, then almost everyone becomes hypnotizable.
And we also look at in our world today, like with marketing, advertising, mobile phones, there are processes within those that are speaking to our brains on a similar level, because they're also trying to access those parts of us that are emotive or responsive to certain stimuli for us to, you know, respond in a way that's they're trying to elicit, which is similar, very different in that way, because we all fall into that hypnotic state somehow. So if you're on your phone and down that rabbit hole, and it depends on like how much of that you take in as a discerning with that information you are, is that sort of a comparison?
I think it absolutely is. You know, if you look at good advertising or a really good book or a good movie, they're definitely hypnotic in nature. Because, you know, if we then go back to that broad definition of being in a state of awareness where you're open to ideas, you know, when you're watching a fantastic movie, you are in a certain state of awareness. You're open to the storyline. Oh my goodness, that person really does love that person. And do they love them back? You're on the edge of your seat. And then you're open to the suggestions that the director and the actors are giving you. And then the phone rings, you snap out of it and you're like, oh yeah, okay, that's Brad Pitt and that's, you know, whoever. And then after a while, you go back into the hypnotic state. So we're just utilizing that very normal state to help you change in a way that is right for you. Obviously, if you choose to sit down and watch a movie, I mean, then you're hypnotizing yourself to escape and hypnotizing yourself to, you know, maybe learn something from the movie, whatever it is that you're getting out of the movie. I would definitely argue that some of the advertising we see and some of the social media uses
100%.
Yeah, principles that we use in hypnosis and that are absolutely hypnotic, that are not for the benefit of the person. Similar to what an entertainment hypnotist might do, definitely. And why do marketers use this? Why do social media? Because it's powerful.
It works. Yeah, yeah, it absolutely works. And that there's so much going into that when you dig down into what we're being fed every day that we don't really even consciously grasp. I hesitate for anyone who's, you know, objecting to hypnotherapy as a, you know, cuckoo kind of way to assess things, because we're just getting done all day long, aren't we?
I mean, I did have a little
laugh. I'd rather choose where I get hypnotized. Thank you.
Absolutely. This is what we're and I couldn't agree. Couldn't have said it better. Completely agree.
Yeah. Brains are fascinating, and I think this is just part of it, isn't it? So it's a little bit more normal than we think when we discuss it in this way, that it's in the mainstream and we're walking around our lives, you know, using this method. We've talked about before how you got into doing hypnotherapy and you actually became interested in it through a very normal route, through reading and research. Can you tell us a little bit about the research? Because we can all talk about the state, but what are we seeing as far as evidence goes around hypnosis and its benefits?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Jackie, because you know my career path, but for anyone who's listening, I'm a psychologist who's really passionate about eating, physical activity, weight, and body image. That's kind of my jam. And way back when I started, I was trained at, you know, the University of Queensland, a fairly straight and narrow place. We did not a course, but only one class on hypnotherapy.
Wow.
And that was all we did. So the tiniest exposure ever. And I was trained, like most psychologists are trained, in cognitive behavior therapy. So the big win of doing cognitive behavior therapy was at the time the gold standard treatment for weight loss. What you find, and we've talked about this before, is, you know, most people, unfortunately, trying to do a diet and exercise program, whatever it is, trying to lose weight, they get this Nike swoosh of weight loss where the weight goes down and then shoots back up afterwards. And what we find is that if people do a cognitive behavior therapy approach, so yes, they are focusing on their behaviors, you know, nutrition, movement, but they're also focusing on their cognitions, their thought patterns, they tend to get more weight loss, which is good. People like that. And they tend to then more slowly regain the weight. So there still is regain, but the regain is slower. So if we look at that from like a pure data perspective, that's a better result for people who want to lose weight. But after about 3 years of practicing pure cognitive behavior therapy with my clients and getting pretty good at it, still love the therapy, still do a lot of it today. But after, you know, doing that for a few years and then seeing my clients having those same experiences, yes, they would probably lose a little bit more weight than if the programs they'd done before. Their weight regain was slower. It's like, that's obviously not really what people want. So I wasn't trained in hypnotherapy at UQ, but I was trained to read the research. Yeah. And I started to look at what are the alternative or adjunct therapies out there. And I was very surprised when the best research I could find was actually for this seemingly, at the time for me, a rather strange intervention. Yeah. And what it showed was that people who then added hypnotherapy onto their cognitive behavior therapy, they lost even more weight, and it was significant. It was almost double the amount of weight. And then the real thing that fascinated me, because, you know, in our game, weight management, it's all about the long term, was that the hypnotherapy group in this research actually continued to lose weight after their treatments finished. So at the follow-up, they continued to lose weight. And for me, that was the only two things that show that are hypnotherapy and bariatric surgery.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is really powerful stuff.
Does that tell you that there's more permanent change with these patients who use this modality? And then that plays out in all those areas of their lives that helps them to continue to make those more positive choices and maintain that level of the things we do to get our end result. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And that was even, I still remember the quote from the research, and I actually included that quote in my book where I talk about hypnotherapy, that basically conducted a meta-analysis, which for people who don't know what that is, it's a statistical analysis of all the studies that have a certain quality. It's designed to increase our scientific certainty about a topic. So it's basically looking at all the studies that met certain quality criteria and then analyzing what is the overall pattern here. And the guy, Irvin Kirsch, who headed up the research, he did quite a few studies, but in that final study, he suggested the benefits of hypnosis increased substantially over time. And that's what really captivates me. It's like a lot of us can make shorter term changes and then we revert back to our old habits. That's really normal. That's really natural. But if we can actually transcend those short term changes and turn those new behaviors that we're doing for a period into habits that last for life, then that's where you get the long term results.
But to me, if I'm wrong, I'm using a bit of personal experience. To me, it's not like you go with, wow, today's a different day and I'm doing everything differently and I really notice that. Sometimes these changes are quite subtle, but when you look forward in time and then you, when you retrospect, you can see that whatever it is that's changed has been a compilation and this kind of organic new way that you just show up. That's what I like about it. It doesn't stir things up and make you re-experience things you don't want to do. It helps with that smooth. You go in, you have a lie down, you get to relax, and then you go back out. And that is the beauty of it. Like, I don't think you could ask for much more than that. Have a little rest. I'll do my thing. We'll work together. And then out you go, and life is just, these things that used to have this charge just or this effect, it's just like, nah, not doing that anymore. And sometimes you have to go, oh, I'm not doing that anymore, because you actually that's what you used to do, because now you just got this new, and there's no effort. There's just this new way. And I just think that's so powerful. How does that come about? I know we're just about to talk about how this all works. Did you want to go into more evidence and more of that research kind of stuff?
No, I think that's, you know, the real key take home that kind of opened my eyes was, wow, this stuff creates bigger results that last longer. Mm. And that's what we all want.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't have to go every week in, week out. Yeah. I found that other tools that we're given, some therapies provide us with tools. And it's like, when you see this coming, you need to implement this behavior. Yep. Yep. And you have to have your wherewithal with you.
Yep.
And it needs to be a good day. And you need to have not had a stressful episode beforehand to keep all of your ducks in a row. And to me, that's what this cognitive work does. It works, but it still feels to me like we have to make the choice.
Absolutely.
And you have to keep, and it does become a habit. So you do make better choices as a result. And I'm not saying it doesn't, it's not the way to go, but it's more like you're given tools in different processes in therapy, whereas the hypnosis gives you this just a new sensation and a new, like a new way.
Look, Jackie, I'm just really vibing with what you're saying and thinking that, you know, it just matches the experiences of so many of the people that I work with. And that is, there are several advantages to doing hypnotherapy. One of them, like you say, is, you know, sometimes people do have natural concerns about the process, but once you actually do the process, I get lots of people who are like, oh, I'm not sure. And then I very rarely suggest hypnotherapy. It's more with people who are open to it or they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Or if I just slightly say, hey, you know what, this is an option for you. I definitely don't push anyone to do it because you do have to be open to it. But sometimes I get people who might be a little bit hesitant. They do the first session, and then after that, 80% of our sessions are hypnotherapy.
Yeah, amazing.
Because it's easier.
Yeah, it's that.
And it's like you say, definitely I'm all about, at times, the right mental skill, the right psychological technique. But the downside to those techniques, as you find in CBT, is they do require effort. So if you're in a state of mental depletion, you know, you've spent all your mental energy not yelling at the guy who cut you off in traffic and then doing all those work tasks you didn't want to do. You get to the end of the day and you just don't have those reserves.
No.
Whereas with hypnotherapy, the changes that are happening on unconscious levels, which means that they don't actually take that conscious effort to continue. And for me, that research that tells us that hypnotherapy lasts in larger and longer lasting changes, it matches perfectly with hypnotic theory that what we're doing in hypnotherapy is we're creating changes in the unconscious mind, then we don't need to do all that conscious work. And it's interesting because I always say that the results of hypnotherapy vary from subtle to surprising.
Yeah.
So sometimes I do get like that email from that person that I got today.
Yeah.
They're like, whoa, this has happened. But then again, if we're realistic for that person, there are more things that we are going to work on over time. So that one thing is fantastic, but then we'll work on more pieces of the puzzle. And then, you know, sometimes it is very subtle. So sometimes I will literally have the next session with the person and I'll say, okay, how did you go? We were talking about this hypnotherapy, say, for being less interested in sugar. And they'll say, huh, I am actually eating tons less sugar, but I didn't really think about it until now. So sometimes it's actually not even until the following session when the person reflects, they're like, oh, so the change has happened, but they might not have noticed it because it hasn't required that effort, that deliberate attention, that willpower to make the changes happen.
Yeah, I was just about to say that the difference between accessing. So what I want to ask is, when you look at unconscious versus conscious, what percentage? I know there's a massive percent of our decision making that's made from unconscious, which is like automatic decision making that is founded from perhaps our experiences, our family background, our value system, that kind of stuff. And I know that all goes in to our brains at a fairly young age. So when we're in our 40s and we're being driven by a huge component of unconscious decision making, we're making often decisions that or responses to life that we would have elicited when we were young. And so this process would access those, I guess, the information that's gone in when we're very young that might not be serving us now, and helps to change those values and beliefs, which helps us to make better decisions and more organically better choices. I think that's gold, and I think that's the key in this. You know, people get up in the morning and they're like, right, today is Monday and it's my day and I'm going to eat so well and I'll go to the gym and, like you say, and everything's going to go perfectly and this is Monday and I'm going to do this all week. And this is very conscious-driven thinking. So you still have to do that. You plan your day out to succeed and to make those healthy choices. But then mid-afternoon comes and you've had a tough day at the office and there's been things that you didn't expect come up and some extra stresses and the guy in the car that you took off by. And that's when willpower is needed to keep making those healthy choices. And that's when people go, God, you know, I went out today and I had all these decisions that I was going to do all these healthy things for myself. And that was my plan. And now I'm mid-afternoon and I'm a failure because I'm making these choices again. Are they unconscious driven choices?
Yeah, they absolutely are. There is that question of, well, how much of our decision-making is conscious and how much of it is unconscious? This is I don't know that we can exactly quantify it, but a rough guideline is that we would say is that 10% of our choices are conscious and the other 90% are unconsciously driven. It's incredible. Like the part that's about the, like you say, the core beliefs and the emotions and the past experiences, that's the one that's driving the bus most of it.
Yeah. And it is. It's like having a toddler out on the road driving a bus and you're going, God, life didn't quite work out how I wanted it to. So to me, this is totally resonates with me because I just think this is where a lot of weight management and health and that sort of stuff all comes from, is this ability to keep making those good choices. And it all comes from unconscious. So if we can hack into that, it's like a memory store bank, isn't it?
It is. And I think that, like you say, most people, to repeat a certain behavior, like, say, for example, driving home and then going for a walk and then cooking dinner versus driving fast food or sitting, going home and sitting on the couch and getting Uber Eats, to do those behaviors, you can do them for a period of time. But if you get stressed, your emotional energy is low, they're just too hard for most people. There's too much conscious attention that's got to be paid to repeat those behaviors enough times for them to become habits. So then we revert back to our old habits. But the magic of when we're doing hypnotic work is we actually end up making the choices we want to with much less effort. And I think it is really a good way to think about how hypnosis works by thinking about that conscious, unconscious dynamic that we have, because really all of our attempts to create healthier habits are sabotaged by what we call conscious unconscious mismatches. So that's where, if you think of your conscious mind as that's the, like, the logical rational part, like you say, the part says, okay, well, today I'm going to have the lunch that I plan to have, and I'm going to leave work at a certain time, then I'm going to go for a walk, then I'm going to cook a really nice, nutritious dinner. The conscious mind is very logical. It is all about planned behavior. So it actually knows the behaviors that we want to do in order to achieve the goals that we have. But unconscious mind, that habitual, emotional part of our mind, might or might not feel like making those changes that the conscious mind wants to make. So, like, a great example of that is, I think a lot of us often, we consciously know that exercising our bodies and moving them is good for us, but we don't feel like doing it. So there's that mismatch. Consciously, we want to do it, but the unconscious mind doesn't feel like doing it. And so if we have these conscious, unconscious mismatches, it sabotages your efforts by making those changes that you want to make feel like they're impossible to make, or feel like they're just too hard to make or too hard to sustain. But then if we are to be able to work nautically, and that's, you know, when we talk about that state of awareness, what we're really talking about is a way of accessing the unconscious that we can't do in normal conversations. You know, you can have a normal therapeutic conversation and say to a person, oh, you know what? I say, oh, my dietitian suggested that I should eat more protein or take my vitamins. And you can logically, consciously, both of our minds go, yeah, that makes sense. If that person's unconscious isn't feeling like doing that for a whole variety of reasons, it's not the habit that they have formed, it's new to them, it's related to something in their past experiences, then it doesn't actually matter what the conscious mind wants to do. That mismatch between conscious and unconscious means it's not going to work. So,
and a lot of these things that we have stored were safety mechanisms too. They were born, I guess, or put into that structure of our unconscious to keep us safe. So it's like when we're growing up and we see something happen, we're like, well, that didn't go too well. So to avoid that happening again, I need to make sure I'm on alert for that. And again, it's not a conscious thought that we go, oh, there it is again. And now I respond in this way to prevent whatever outcome it was, getting in trouble or getting hurt or whatever, or getting emotionally set. Those sorts of things where we have like this internal radar that we can't even necessarily detect that goes, no, don't do that. So these will are here to keep you safe, but no longer serve us. And this is where you would gain access to say, yes, we know that you've had this construct in place. And yes, it served a purpose for a particular time, but now it's to move on and do more different things that serve you. We'll just work with that. And I think there's so much to be gained from that, particularly in the audiences that we deal with. There's so much there. And, you know, for being how experienced you are with weight management psychology, you would see this so often is this, you know, I really tried today, but I didn't make it. And then it's this defeating process of I'm going to try again tomorrow and I didn't make it. And you can see how people just throw their hands up in the air and say, well, every day I consciously make a decision about really what I want. And by the end of the day, it just never pans out that way. And it's this feeling, it's that mismatch, but it's like, what is missing here? And this part of that process would be the key.
Yeah, absolutely. Because often you're right, if you consciously want to do certain things, but then you're consistently then not doing them, or you constantly want to stop doing certain things, but then you keep doing them. You can feel this sense of, you know, shame or disempowerment or confusion as to what the answer is. You can often feel like, well, some people tell me like they're in two minds. I feel like they're a bit crazy or they're just constantly fighting against themselves. But what's really going on is, like you say, there's this conscious intention that you have, but it's just not aligned with what's going on unconsciously. And one of the things that we say about the unconscious is absolutely we develop our unconscious beliefs and our unconscious patterns for reasons. And one thing that hypnotherapists and in fact probably all psychologists say is that the unconscious doesn't have a good sense of time. It doesn't have a good sense that that was then and this is now. And so what we're doing is we're helping the unconscious to change in a way that is right for you as a unique person. But I think you sort of said something a little while back that I think is really key, is that we can actually do that by suggesting the subconscious mind changes in a whole variety of ways without having to return to the original experiences that the person's had, which obviously can be very unpleasant to the point of re-traumatizing a person. So there are a couple of types of hypnotherapy. One is what we call exploratory hypnotherapy, where it's like we're actually doing hypnosis always in a one-on-one setting to try and understand what has gone on with a person and why they think and feel and act the way they do. And then the other type is suggestive hypnotherapy, where we're actually just focusing on the here and now and giving suggestions in the here and now, planting those seeds so they will then grow in a way that's right for the person and improve their life in the future. Now, for me personally as a hypnotherapist, I would say 5% of my work is exploratory. I do very, very little. And that is where, you know, there is a potential risk there that you might access something that is traumatic. There is also a potential risk if you're in a hypnotized state that you can implant false memories. So for me, I'm very tentative with doing exploratory hypnosis, and I'm not really too keen on doing it because there is risks, and I don't feel the need to do it because the other therapies that I do, including the hypnotherapy, leave me feeling like we don't really need to do that.
Good point. And I haven't actually heard of that before. I think that's really interesting. That is it more of seeing what is there for that person and then giving you feedback for what to do with it in further therapy? Or is it more a healing kind of process for that? Is it meant to walk them through different scenarios so they can process that?
The exploratory hypnotherapy?
Yeah.
So it actually can be both. And so, you know, one way, this is a very, very crude way of thinking about it, but if we think of hypnotherapy as opening the mind, exploratory hypnotherapy can be thought of as like opening the mind to pull things out. It's like, okay, so the psychologist or the hypnotherapist and the client can't quite get to understanding why something is going on. So let's have a look. And then you can then work with that in a non-hypnotic context.
Yeah.
Or it can be, and that's where, you know, really good exploratory hypnotherapists will actually help the person unlock what is in there in the unconscious, open that up, and then help them work with it in a therapeutic way.
Yeah.
For me personally, I think that, you know, and I'm a massive fan of doing trauma-based work if you have experienced trauma, but I do believe that if we look at it from an evidence-based point of view, there are more evidence-based trauma treatments than doing hypnotherapy. So definitely, I wouldn't write it off automatically, but definitely wouldn't be my first go-to with somebody who wanted to overcome very deep issues from the past. Yeah. Unless they wanted to do it in the way that's like you said, it's, you know, one way to do that work is actually to focus what's happening in the subconscious right now and change that. And then sometimes that person can create the life they want without ever addressing some of those older experiences. But obviously that all, you know, will depend on the person.
Yeah. Fascinating, isn't it?
Super fascinating.
Yeah. Like, I like that part of it, that it's not like you have to go back to the very beginning. If it is a big thing that we know is traumatic or we know has strong hold, sometimes it's going back to what's happening now that will actually cascade back on that original happening and actually dampen it, which is nice because you don't have to go and find it and discuss it and dig it all up again if it is, you know, those huge things.
Absolutely. And, and most trauma therapy actually ends up with looking at how that trauma had the final stages of looking at how that trauma is affecting the person in the here and now and working on that anyway. So that can be a really powerful thing to do straight away.
That's fascinating. Thank you. The other thing I wanted to know is, can you tell me a little bit more about your ways of combining both your psychological knowledge and your hypnosis and hypnotherapy?
Yeah.
What are you seeing when you combine that amazing skill set you have?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question, because I think that when we talk about hypnotizability, you know, like I said, we don't really think about can a person be hypnotized, we think about how they can be hypnotized. So I would say if somebody came in to say, for example, quit smoking, I would be able to give them a decent hypnotic experience. But if somebody came in with an eating concern or a weight concern or an exercise concern or a body image concern, I'm able to give them great hypnosis. And is a term that I really like that we call integrated focused hypnotherapy. So it's a newer term, but what a lot of hypnotherapists are basically suggesting these days is that a hypnotherapist should be qualified in understanding the basic hypnotic principles and how to do hypnotherapy, and also the key areas that they are working in. So I think that I'm very interested in applying hypnotherapy and mixing that with all of my knowledge of eating, physical activity, weight, body image. And what that means is, I sort of said before that hypnotherapy works best when it's tailored to the individual. If it's tailored to you, you become more hypnotizable. So it means then in my one-on-one work, I obviously listen to the person, I work with them. But even when I'm doing group hypnotherapy or in my audio program, I'm bringing all of that knowledge from the zillions of conversations I've had
in
this area. So my 10 years of hypnotherapy, but also my almost 20 years of having conversations and reading this research around this one area that's my particular baby. And so what I find specifically there is, as you know, I'm a big fan of the non-diet approach. So this is an approach where rather than focusing so much on the scales, we consider that you're not just a number on the scales, you are a whole person, because sometimes when we get too focused on that one number, we sabotage ourselves in a whole variety of ways. And I know that a lot of your listeners will be like, yep, I understand that. And we focus on a non-restrictive, intuitive style of eating. So it's a very nutritious way of eating, but it's not something that's going to be restrictive or deprivational. And the same with joyful movement. You know, we are absolutely wanting to move our bodies more, but not like coming from that no pain, no gain perspective. So I like to do hypnotherapy based on those principles of intuitive eating, joyful movement, and loving yourself healthy, because you can't hate yourself healthy.
No, you can't.
Yeah. I think that those suggestions that I'm giving people are more evidence-based. But in reality, in practice, what it means is the person is more able to take on those suggestions, because a suggestion that you will enjoy moving your body and you will find ways of moving your body that work for you as a unique individual, that suggestion is much more likely to be taken on and taken into the unconscious of a person than you will work as hard as you can. You will exercise 3 times a week. So both hypnotic suggestions, but the perspective that we're coming from is completely different. So I think what then sinks in, basically we're doing it in a way that's unlikely to have the suggestions bounce off and unlikely to sort of trigger people into potentially harmful kind of dieting mentalities that actually end up doing more harm than good.
What a beautiful blend, like, as you say, from all of the experience and the conversations you've had from working in this kind of niche area for so long. I think that's what happens as we stack our knowledge up and our experience as a practitioner, that when we then bring in a new arm to that, there's so much more that comes in because it's quite specialist, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that I began doing hypnotherapy with people because of the research and then, you know, seeing their beautiful experiences with it. And then I actually created my hypnotherapy resources because I was looking for hypnosis audio programs, CDs at the time, that I could
suggest away a bit
to my, it's a bit too much, that I could suggest to my clients. But I was listening to some really fantastic technical hypnotherapy, but it was all coming from that weight loss perspective, that dieting mentality, which we know actually tends to do more harm than good for most people. So that's why I created my resources. And through my knowledge, I think that they're the only resources that actually combine hypnotherapy and the non-diet approach. So we think that's pretty cool.
It is very cool. And when we talked about it off air, which let's talk about it on air, can we have a little delve into your new hypnotherapy program? I'm really interested in it overall. As you can tell, I love hypnotherapy. But I also wanted to touch on the other additional modality that you mix in there, which is the binaural beats. So tell me firstly about the program and also intermingle that with your additional binaural beats and what that means for a person who's embarking on that.
Yeah, super happy to do that, because really I think the magic in this hypnotherapy program is the combination of really good hypnotherapy, the non-diet approach, and these binaural beats. So the new program is called the 90-Day Transformation, and it's my hypnotherapy masterpiece. I've been doing hypnotherapy with clients for 15 years and spent 10 years creating a range of hypnotherapy audio programs that I now see as sort of pilots. But from all of that experience and the research and the learning through those other hypnotherapy programs, we've created just this really magical resource that I already know is my best hypnotherapy resource. Oh. And we trialed it with our online community, 300 members in our online community this year. And they both confirmed how fantastic it is. Like the feedback was just made us feel like, oh, yes, we are on the right track. This is really helping people transform. And then also, you know, when you've got a clinical trial of 300 people, it helped us to fine tune the resource as well, which was super cool. The program's called the 90-Day Transformation. And it's designed to help you transform the way you eat, move, and feel in just 15 minutes a day.
Hang on, 15 minutes a day, change how you what, look, think, and feel.
Change the way you eat, move, and feel in just 15 minutes a day. So
I want to do that.
Yeah, well, this is why we created it, because I think that what we did with this resource is we started off with what people would do. My other hypnotherapy programs that I still think are really good, but they, you know, some of the hypnosis in there's half an hour up to 55 minutes. And we polled our people and we asked them, how much time do you have? What's doable for you, really? Mm. And the feedback was, you know, even 20 minutes for some people was like, no, too long. And people did say, you know what, I can find 15 minutes. So we find, especially now when people are getting the benefits of it, that 15 minutes becomes easier and easier to find. But it was an interesting one because what we did with this one was we started off with making it super doable. And we just fought and worked so hard to keep it at that 15 minutes. But then we had some challenges associated with that. So if we start, if we're going to be really, really rigid and look, to be honest, there is one track that there's an extended version so people can listen to 15 minutes or they can listen to a 22-minute version. And then the final track is a summary of everything and that goes for 20 minutes. So we got pretty close.
And so let me interrupt. Did it only take you 15 minutes to record all of these wonderful tracks? I know we talked about how much you put into it. How many hours of recording for these little 15-minute jaunts did it take you?
So I used the same audio engineer for my other hypnotherapy programs. And it was funny because he said, based on the content that I gave him, that he said, look, 3 days, 4 days, tops. And I think we topped out at 14 days. It was just a really fun process. And at the same time, it was really laborious and sometimes very painstaking. And you know what? I really did know that this will be my big hypnotherapy offering to the world. So it has to be as close to perfect as we can get it.
I'm pretty sure it would be.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good.
Good on you.
Thank you. But our challenges.
It takes a lot.
It took a real lot. But even just, you know, I think since hearing the feedback about it, which is like in some senses we knew it was based on all of this work we'd done. And we're like, we think it's going to be really good. But when you hear people's experiences, you think, oh, wow, that's really worth every second.
And that's the one good thing about it is like as a one-on-one practitioner, generally, psychology, hypnotherapy is often just one-on-one. How do you feel in yourself around that? It's like this ability then to clone yourself because we know we've been trying to find a clone of Glenn McIntosh for many years with all the incredible work you've done and the change. We see it because we hear from your patients all the time as well. To be able to reach more people and change on that level, it's, something pretty special.
It is absolutely special. It is the coolest thing in the world. And I really did make a real effort when we were recording the hypnotherapy, when I was deciding on the suggestions, to really imagine every word that there was someone there on my couch. So, and it is, you know, it's the power of technology, right? You think, wow, this is actually, you can connect with another person and do this work without ever having met them, which is super duper cool. Yeah, the 15 minutes is a really challenging one because it's like, well, how do you get... Our first challenge was, I've got a lot that I want to say. And this resource is comprehensive. It's about eating, movement, body image, but it's also about the way that we socialize with people around food and movement. It's about our self-esteem, our mental health, our mood, so, and how that all relates to our eating, weight, and body image. It's about so much. So what we decided to do was we call the program the 90-day transformation, but basically it's 12 weeks and people do a different 15-minute track every week. So there's a new track for every week. And so that way we're able to get a whole range of suggestions that build and grow on each other throughout the course of the program. It's just like you said, Jackie, sometimes we get people who are like, I've listened twice and then the work, the cakes came out at morning tea and I'm not interested. I'm thinking, I've done this twice. Is this working? And then we get some people who are like, it might take a few weeks and they're like, okay, I'm just starting to notice these subtle little shifts. There's a whole variety because it's melding with your mind.
Yeah. And everyone's different, have that different response, but it's never uninteresting to hear how it's worked. It's so fascinating.
It's fascinating because what we're doing is I'm giving you the same suggestions that are based on my research and my experience with people that I think will help. But then those suggestions are melding with your unconscious mind and they're assimilating and you're integrating it and you're merging it in your own unique way. So we don't know what's going to happen. So we had a member give us this feedback that she decided to walk to the shops instead of drive to the shops. So she was hilarious. She said, oh, my dog is just so surprised, like, what's going on? And she said, I wouldn't have done this without the hypnosis. She said, I decided to check in on a neighbor. And she said, I've checked in this neighbor. I hadn't had a conversation with the neighbor in ages. And so I've had to have this, you know, beautiful experience of connection with my old friend. But nowhere in the hypnotherapy did I ever say, you are going to speak with your neighbor. That was what had her unconscious mind had organized and adapted and internalized that idea to a point where she felt like doing this thing. So it is it's not magic, but it's magical.
Yeah. And it's funny, like when you do go, oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't have done that a few weeks ago. And that's where, like, even some journaling, do you encourage that kind of thing, just to present to decisions you're making and things that you might notice? Because I find unless I have that moment of looking back, but sometimes I miss it. And then it's, you know, 6 months later and I go, oh, that's interesting. And it keeps you motivated, I think, if you're just not religiously, but regularly introspecting and what am I noticing? That way I think, oh, this is something that's really creating change and let's keep going with that. So what do you suggest as far as kind of checking into things?
Oh, Jackie, I just couldn't agree with you more. We have a workbook in the program. It's like an additional, so you don't have to do it, but you can. And in that, you can basically just check off because basically you listen to one track a week and you can listen to it as often as you like, up to daily. Yeah. So you can check off. I did it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You don't have to do it every day, but just check off as many days as you've done, which gives you a bit of motivation and you can give yourself a little pat on the back. And then we have every week just a blank space where people can, they can actually write or they can type. You can do it digitally. Just what you've noticed. And I think that actually consciously reinforcing those suggestions and just consciously reinforcing the changes and just acknowledging what's happened does help you stay motivated to keep moving forward. But I've actually had a funny thought. I'm like, geez, Jackie, I should include this podcast in the program or a little link to it because there's so much that we're saying that just fits in with the program. And that little bit will really encourage people to download their workbooks.
Yeah, that's nice. Here to help. You know me.
Were you going to ask me about the binaural beats?
I was.
Look, we're in sync. Yeah, that was the other part because 15 minutes, the upside to that, it's no time. Most people can find it, especially if they're getting benefits, at least a few times a week. The difficulty with 15 minutes, the other difficulty, apart from getting all the content in there, which we solved by making it a 12-week program, although members, if anyone wants to get it, you get lifetime access to it, so you can have it for as long as you want, forever. The other challenge was 15 minutes is a really doable time for a lot of people, but it's also not a long time for somebody to get into a hypnotic state. You know, sometimes it might take somebody 10, 15, 20 minutes to actually enter the hypnotic state. So to help people enter a hypnotic state, almost instantly we use binaural beats.
Yeah.
So I know that you've used binaural beats, Jackie. There is a lot to them. I reckon we could do an entire podcast on them. They're absolutely amazing. But basically what they are is they're specific tones that are created by giving you slightly different audio in each ear. So to get the hypnotic benefit, you either have to listen through headphones or you can listen to a stereo and be in the middle of it. But basically if you get a slightly different audio in each ear, your brain seeks to equalize that difference. And it does that by creating certain brain waves. So you can have binaural beats that create a whole range of different brain waves. You can use them to create beta brain waves to help you focus and learn. You can use binaural beats to create alpha brain waves to relax. In the 90-day transformation, we use theta brainwaves. So the binaural beats create theta brainwaves, which are the brainwaves that we have when we're in a hypnotic state. So in the resource, you do hear me talking rather calmly and rather softly, and that helps you to relax. Listeners actually have a whole range of listening options, so they can listen with some nice little nature sounds in the background or some nice relaxing music, but they can also listen with these binaural tones. And these binaural tones, as soon as you hear them, they enhance your hypnotizability. You go into a hypnotic state, and the effect of using the binaural tones is that people transform. They go into a hypnotic state more fully, more deeply, and more quickly. The other cool thing about the binaural tones is that because it's happening on a very physiological level, it's just directly changing your brain waves.
Yeah.
Is that we do then get a lot of people who, say if you were quote unquote quite hypnotizable or somewhat hypnotizable in the past, you become more fully, more deeply, more quickly hypnotizable. But if you've been one of those people in the past who hasn't been hypnotizable, we find, I use that quote unquote hypnotizable, we find that the binaural tones actually help a lot of people who weren't able to be hypnotized in the past become hypnotizable. Yeah, so that's helpful, isn't it? Source. Yeah, absolutely.
So either way, you benefit because you're either more than you were or you're open when you weren't necessarily totally open.
100%. Yeah. And then that coupled with the suggestions that are ones that are much more likely for your mind to take on, those non-diet suggestions, makes you even more hypnotizable. And then all of that is merging with your personal psychology to enhance your quote-unquote hypnotizability, whatever that is. You actually become, everyone becomes hypnotizable.
Amazing. You've really thought this out, haven't you?
Oh, Jackie, that is an understatement. I've thought it out.
A few hours into thinking that out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
The pilot of this program, the 90-day transformation, it started in 2016. Some other programs were between 2010 and 2016. And I started writing this in 2016. So I have.
You didn't smash it out over COVID like everybody else wrote their books.
I definitely didn't smash it out over COVID. Oh, I just danced with it for 6 or 7 years.
It's like that though. Like some things I'm like, this needs to be absolutely perfect before I can do anything with it. And other things I'm like, let's just get this out there because I need to tell everybody about it. So I think the proof is in the pudding with this one because it's well put together, it's easy to access, it's affordable, it's doable, it's effective. I don't know what else it is. What I wanted to ask you is I know that we often talk about these programs and we love to give our communities a special deal. And Did I ask you if you have one, pretty please, for this amazing new resource that you've got on offer?
Yep, I remember
just,
us talking.
Just must for
been,
us?
It must have been last week, and you said, Glenn, can you give us a deal? And I'm like, I thought about it, and yep, I love that. And look, the program is just helping so many people. It's just so special to hear about, and we want everybody to have it. We want to share it far and wide. And on that, if you do access the program and you get some of these benefits, please reach out and let me know. So I love hearing about it. I think it will just give me a buzz forever. Don't think it'll ever grow old. So if you do experience some transformations, whatever that is, and you know, whatever those changes are in a way that's right for you, please let me know. But I did think about this, Jackie, and what I'd like to do is actually give you the same special offer that I gave for members of my newsletter. So it's a twofer, which is kind of cool. Yep.
That's
so
cool.
The first thing is just a straight up discount, which is nice and easy. You know, we offered our members an introductory discount of 20%. So we think it's a pretty doable program. Mm. That makes it even more doable. And we can include like the notes. You just have to enter the code TRANCE, TRANCE. But I'm sure you'll include all of the links and everything.
Yes, we'll put all of this in the show notes on the Australian Weight Loss Surgery Podcast website.
Fantastic. So you just enter that discount code and you get 20% off the program and you get the program for life. So you have it forever, which is great. And then for Black Friday, which recently we did a 2-for-1 offer with our audience as well. So we want to give you that as well. So what that is you basically you get the 90-day transformation audio program, but then I also will give you my transformational hypnotherapy webinar series. So it's a 12-week webinar series where I take you through all of my favorite hypnosis and relaxations and creative visualizations that I do with my clients. So you get lifetime access to that as well.
That's amazing. That's such a huge resource because we know how busy you are and to get in to see you is particularly difficult. So to have you in our back pocket or on our devices, it's certainly something that's really worthwhile accessing. But to have that also just the adjunct, that's where totally grateful for that because I think this is where it's at, is this, we talk about after even looking at weight loss on its own or looking at weight loss and maintenance after weight loss surgery, which is also our area.
Yep.
We look at this ongoing awareness of keeping things front of mind. And also we call it a journey because it's also, it is a journey. And this is part of it is the mindset component. And you'll notice through my podcast episode list just how many sessions I've done on mindset because I'm a nutritionist and I love to talk about food and meal plans and protein and macros, but that's great. But until you can access this part of the work, the rest is just effort and willpower and daily grind. And why not make it enjoyable by marrying that whole together of accessing that part of you that, you know, helps to just organically bring about these choices and make it easier. I think that's the beauty of it. And it's so well put together with this program. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, well, I'm absolutely excited and I can't wait for your guys to have a listen and to start transforming.
Yeah, well, you're in our group too, so it'd be really great to have that conversation and, you know, for people to bring that to us so that we can encourage others, because I think sometimes you're right, there is that barrier to, oh, what is that? I'm not sure about it. But I think once we get that message out to normalize it, but to just show what's possible and how accessible and affordable it is as well. So we will add all of your contact information into our show notes on the website. Could you give me your rerun through your practice address, your practice name, and how we might reach you if we're just Googling away right now?
Yeah, so probably you could just Google like Glenn McIntosh is my name, double N on Glenn, and McIntosh is M-A-C-K-I-N-T-O-S-H, spelt the weirdest way. I am the clinical director of weight management psychology. We're a team of psychologists and dietitians. So you can just Google weight management psychology. You can check me out on Instagram, same, just Glenn McIntosh, and Facebook.
You've got plenty of content, so you're very easily found. I don't think
I'm pretty easy to find. Yeah.
Excellent. Once again, thank you so much. We always do a nice long episode when you're on the other end. It's fantastic. And you'll be back. We've talked about two other options for Glenn to be back on, both the podcast and in a live session in our group, in the BN Bariatric group on Facebook. So watch this space. It's all about to happen. So jump on to the transformation. And, yeah, I think you can't go wrong with that. Thanks so much for your time, Glenn McIntosh. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me, Jackie. Thanks for allowing me the opportunity to talk about this really interesting and novel intervention. Hopefully it's encouraged a few people to give it a go and experience the benefits for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And just before you go, we would love to hear your feedback. So please give us a rating and review. For other interesting topics of conversation and inspiration, come and drop into our Facebook community at BN Bariatric. If you've enjoyed our podcast, we hope you will share on your Facebook or Instagram and hit subscribe so you'll never miss an episode.